Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
I actually used to be a Michigan, what do you guys call it? Michigander. Okay, good. I used to be a Michigander for about 3.5, 4 years. Lived in a tiny town up in, obviously, Michigan. It's called Gladwin. You probably never heard of it. All right. You know it? All right. Let me guys tell you, though, I am living proof that sometimes God calls you to exotic places. Seriously. I'm driving, okay, to the place that God is calling me to be. I'm from Wisconsin. I'm from around the Milwaukee area. It takes 2 minutes to get to anything I need to go. All of a sudden, I'm driving in my car, and I look, cornfields, dirt roads. What is up with the dirt roads, I'm thinking? Yeah, in Wisconsin, we don't have dirt roads. Every road is paved. We have dirt driveways, but we don't have dirt roads. So this is, like, weird to me. I'm seeing dirt roads. Like, what is going on? I'm driving along, seeing all these dirt roads, and I'm starting to freak out. I'm like, oh my goodness. I don't know about you, but I feel comfortable in the city. When I go to the sticks, I get a little nervous, okay? I don't know what kind of crazy person's going to jump out of the woods at me. All right? Seriously, I'm getting a little nervous, all right? I'm a lot more safe, feel a lot more safe in Lansing, okay? You bring me to the most dangerous part in Lansing, and I'm going to feel safer than the wood, the middle of nowhere. I'm telling you, crazy people sometimes come in the middle of nowhere, right? No. Okay, but anyway, so I'm driving, and I'm seeing dirt roads, cornfields. I'm like, oh, my goodness, God, why are you punishing me? Like, what did I do wrong? And all of a sudden, we get closer to a town, and I see a McDonald's, and I'm like, okay, I'm not a McDonald's guy, but civilization. There's a franchise. There's something. We can build off of this, all right? We got something. And I go to the drive-thru. I'm like, oh, I'll get a soda or something. Oh, yeah, you guys call it pop. That's right. So I'm in the drive-thru. I'm like, can I have a pop? And I look in front of me, and there's an Amish buggy in the drive-thru. You've got to be kidding me. Amish like McDonald's? What? I kid you not. So then I'm driving around, and every business that they have has a place to hook up their carriages. I'm thinking, Lord, what are you doing? I'm like horrified. I'm tripped out. I don't know what's going on. So then when I saw that McDonald's, I'm like, oh, thank God, civilization. But so this town's got a fast food chain. It can't be that bad, right? You know, whatever. There's Amish people. I can roll with this, all right? God called me here. I got the strength. That's my first experience in Michigan. Lansing. You guys got a great city, okay? Want to ask you guys a question. Can I get serious with you guys? I love to laugh. I love to have fun. But today's message is a message that I really felt God was telling me that you guys needed to hear. I tried like 3 different times to go with something else, and God kept saying, no, I want you to talk about this. This is actually one of the most serious messages that I will ever speak on because it means a lot to me. It's very emotional. So I have some questions for you guys. And I want you to not answer the question out loud. So I want you to answer it in your head. Really think about it, okay? Think about these questions. Don't say it out loud. How many of you feel like garbage? How many of you feel like junk? Inadequate, not good enough, not liked? You cry yourself to sleep. Maybe you've cried yourself to sleep because you feel worthless. You have trouble looking in the mirror. You feel like you've messed up way too much. There's no way I would be accepted in church. It's actually absolutely amazing that you're even here because you said you'd never go into church. You think Christians are just going to judge you, that people here are just going to think that you're just a horrible person because they know your past, they know what you've gone through. Maybe you feel like you feel worthless. Are you hiding from God? Are you tired of feeling like this? Good, because you should. You should be tired of feeling like this. These are lies from Satan. These are lies, absolute lies from Satan. There's nothing further from the truth. Today I'm here to tell you that you are God's original masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Today we're going to conquer these lies. Now I'm going to ask you, how many of you have felt like one of those things I listed off today? Raise your hand if you've ever felt like that. Maybe you do feel like that. Yeah. So I thought. We're going to pray. So you guys can bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you that you've given me the awesome opportunity to speak to rage. Thank you, God, that you've put great leaders in this church. Pastor Joe, Pastor Carl was absolutely amazing to these kids. Thank you for the great leadership, Father. We ask you, Lord, to speak to the students. Speak through me tonight, God. I want to be used by you. I don't want it to be my words. I don't want it to be my agenda, Father. I want you to completely speak through me. Father, I pray if there's somebody in here that's come in here broken, they've come in here lost, they've come in here feeling like garbage. God, maybe they're cutting themselves. God, maybe they're crying sleep. They're crying themselves asleep. They feel inadequate. They feel worthless. They feel like junk. Father, I pray, God, that tonight you would let them know that they are loved, that they are wanted, that they aren't junk. Father, I pray, God, that you would break through that wall tonight. Lord, let your presence be here. We invite you into this room. We want you here, Father. Lord, I pray for no distractions, God. I pray that there would be nothing that would keep our focus off of you tonight. We love you, and we're expecting big things. Amen. How many of you have your Bibles? Not digital. Digital's great. Great world we live in. But have a paper Bible. Raise them up. Raise them up high. Oh, come on. Students, the Bible is so good. Use it. So many of you are like, well, I don't understand it. I'm bored with it. I don't get what I'm reading. Let me tell you something. The Bible is the most amazing book ever. And if you don't understand it, get a Bible, a translation that you do understand. If you don't have a Bible, I guarantee you Pastor Joe will hook you up with one tonight. So go see Pastor Joe if you don't have a Bible that you can understand. It is important to get into God's Word. It's so good. Use it. If you don't have a Bible, again, I tell you, talk to Pastor Joe. Today, if you have it, or you can use your digital Bible, the first scripture reference I'm going to use is Ephesians 2:10. You got some time to get to it, so don't worry. It's in the New Testament. Now, this sermon may be, like I said, one of the most powerful sermons that I'll ever speak on because it's really important to me, and it's really something that means a lot to me. These lies are so damaging. It breaks my heart when I know that you guys are you're struggling with this because it is seriously, Satan knows that he can get to us with this. These lies are damaging. Let me tell you something. I could have said yes to all of those questions at some point in my life. In fact, I'm still struggling with some of those things today. So let me just be honest with you. I'm transparent. I'm not perfect. God's still working on me, but I am God's masterpiece. In high school, I was on the football team. So yeah, you guessed it. I wanted to be well liked. Okay, I was on like we're talking about cliches, right? I was a football player. Loved it. It's like status. I wanted to be cool. Maybe some of you can't relate to football. Maybe basketball or track or soccer. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be well liked. I wanted the attractive girls to like me. How many of you have ever been there before? You wanted come on, all right. But let's be honest, we're in church. I went to parties, I participated in dumb stuff because I wanted to be well-liked. I wanted to feel better about myself. As you guys can see, I'm not skinny. I've been overweight since high school, and it's something that I've struggled with for quite a while, and it's something I'm also working on. I go to the gym, try to eat well, want to lose weight. But because of that, I didn't have confidence outside of sports. You know, baseball, I could hit the ball really far. In football, I could push the guy way back. But outside of sports, I didn't have confidence because I didn't like the way that it looked. I didn't think any girl would ever like me. And like you saw today, that was obviously a lie because I got a dynamite girl back there. I was insecure. I thought people wouldn't like me because of my weight. I just wasn't a cool enough guy, I thought. I'd meet people and assume they don't like me right away. How many of you have ever, you meet people and you assume right away they're not going to like you? No, they're not going to like me. I struggle with that. Coming in this room, even tonight, I'm thinking, man, I hope they like me. It's hard to listen to somebody you don't like. I absolutely hated myself. And in college, it continued. I struggled with that. I didn't like who I was. Junior year of high school, I got called into youth ministry. And I said, God, are you crazy? Are you crazy? I'm not good enough. I don't think enough people like me. you got to be well-liked to be a youth pastor. Stats actually say that most kids go to their youth group because they like their youth pastor. Like, God, help me out here. I don't know if this is the right profession. So I went to NCU. I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to God. You know, I'm definitely not the best person in the world, but one thing that I pride myself in is I'm obedient to God. And when he's telling me to do something, I do it. And I knew he was calling me to North Central University. Somebody's got a college up in Minneapolis. And so I went. And the same feelings of inadequacy stayed. Still trying to get over it. I'm still trying to get over it. It's not easy. A lot of times I feel like I'm not good enough to be here. These feelings tear me up. They make me feel miserable. I'm submitting these things to God. That's important that I do that. Because God doesn't see me that way. Maybe it's not a weight issue for you, but maybe it's something else about your identity. Maybe the way someone or some people have made you feel about yourself, they've talked about you, they've gossiped about you. Maybe you've messed up a lot and you can't forgive yourself. Maybe you've gotten into drugs, alcohol, premarital sex, I don't know. Maybe it's something that something you've been around the church and you know that you're not supposed to do this and you have done it, and so now you don't feel good enough. You feel like people are judging you. They don't want me at church. Maybe you listen to what the TV tells you, the media tells you, what you're supposed to be like. And unfortunately, it's true. I had to write a 60-page paper in college to graduate. Yeah, not fun. 20 to 30 sources. So I had to find 30 sources that backed up what I was talking about. Not fun. And one of the things that I found out, I wrote this paper on, is that students are very... The media controls us a lot of times, that we're very much influenced by the media. And if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, no, that's not me, I'm my own person, let's be honest. There's something in the media that has influenced you, whether it be the TV, music, radio, you know, movies, I don't know, but some of that, it affects students, it affects adults. And have you done those things that you knew the church isn't okay with, or you knew that Jesus wouldn't be proud of you about, and so now you feel like you're not good enough? Today I want to read Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago." My first point today, if you have notes are good for me, helps me remember things. We are God's original masterpiece. Could you improve on a masterpiece? Have you guys ever seen the Mona Lisa? You know, that lady that's supposed to be smiling doesn't really look like she's smiling. It's like a little grin. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it is famous. It's worth tons of money. But can you imagine going to the museum in France and like, oh, I can take a paintbrush and I can fix this, make that smile bigger, I don't know, fix her cheeks. You wouldn't think that. You wouldn't say that. Most of us wouldn't, because it's a masterpiece. It's made tons of money. It's famous. You wouldn't think that there's anything that you can do to make it better. You'd say that's crazy. But that's what people try to do with Jesus Christ, his masterpiece called salvation. They think that they must improve it, that they need to do something about it. But that masterpiece was completed when Jesus said, "It is finished." That's in John 19:30. Then he proved that his work of redemption was done when he rose from the dead. He really did rise from the dead. When you hear that Jesus paid the price for your sin and that you don't have to do anything to merit God's grace, do you think that's too good to be true? Do you think there's something you must do to earn it? Let me tell you guys something. You can't add anything to it. Receive God's gift of salvation. Understand that you are God's masterpiece. Jesus paid it all, and the masterpiece of salvation is complete. What does that mean? What does that mean? You're confusing me. What I'm saying is that when he died on the cross for you, that is a masterpiece. Your salvation is a masterpiece. That means that God loves you no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like. I don't care if you're white, black, Hispanic. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't care if you got a little weight to lose. I don't care if you're short. I don't care if you're really skinny. It doesn't matter. It's for all of you. Every single one of us. And his salvation plan for us is a masterpiece. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to impress him. You just have to accept it. You got to try to live with him. You're going to mess up. You're going to fall. That stuff happens. You need to realize that you can't earn it. Maybe you've messed up. Maybe you're like, Pastor Pete, you don't understand. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. I've sinned against God. If I walk into on a Sunday morning into the sanctuary, I'm gonna be lit on fire. No, you're not. You're not going to be lit on fire. God's forgiveness is there for you. Don't let these feelings of guilt, don't let it stop you from receiving the best gift there ever was, a relationship with God. Salvation, I want you guys to write this in your notes. Salvation is a gift to be received, not a goal to be achieved. It's so good. Can you guys say that with me? Salvation is a gift to be received, and not a goal to be achieved. Philippians 1:6. You can turn to that if you'd like. Otherwise, it's going to be on the screen. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. My second point today is right in your notes is we are not a finished masterpiece. Salvation's finished. That's a finished masterpiece. But we're not a finished masterpiece. So what that means is, yeah, you've messed up. Yeah, you've gone down the wrong path. Yeah, you've let these horrible feelings about yourself conquer how you feel about yourself, and that has stopped you from having a relationship with God because you hate who you are. But you're not a finished masterpiece. There's still time. You guys are young. God is saying that he's continuing to do a good work in us, just like parents can continually teach their kids how to become better people. God is always teaching us and helping us become the people he's called to be. Pastor Joe, not a finished masterpiece. I'm not a finished masterpiece. We still mess up. We're not any better than you. We all mess up. I don't care if you've done any of those things. Maybe you've gotten into drugs. Maybe you had premarital sex. Maybe you've had suicidal thoughts. Maybe you've hated who you are, and that is a sin. Hating yourself, things like that, guys. It's obviously not okay for those things to happen, right? But it's not the end of the road. Forgiveness is there. Jesus is telling you guys, you're not a finished masterpiece. Just work with me. Students, like I said, you're young. God's not done with you. Yeah, you're not perfect. Sure, you mess up. Yeah, you've done some things that you're not proud of, but don't stop trying to be better. Don't stop trying to go deeper with God. God knows everything you've done, yet he still loves you. He still wants you to draw near to him. He's saying, come back. He's saying, I love you. Just the way you are, I love you. You don't have to impress me. That doesn't mean he's okay with where you're at, but he wants to work on that with you. You don't have to do it alone. There is forgiveness. There's nothing that you've done that can stop you from being forgiven. There's nothing that you've done that will stop God from loving you. Yeah. God wants to take you back with open arms. Maybe you've lost your passion for God. You know, there's some in here that maybe don't know God. They don't have a relationship with God. And maybe some of you today had a passion for God. You were with him. You were strong. And something happened and you've lost that passion. God's saying, hey, I'll take you back. I believe when you come back, there's a huge party that takes place in heaven. This actually reminds me of Luke 15, verse 11 through 32. We'll put it up there. But do you guys know the story of the prodigal son? Basically, there was a man who had He wanted his father's inheritance. He wanted his inheritance, okay? And let me tell you something about the inheritance. It's really interesting, but when you wanted your father, when you wanted the inheritance from your father, it was like a slap in the face. It's almost like wishing that your dad was dead. For a son to ask for his inheritance before the death of his father was a huge offense. Back then, this was so insulting to a father. It was equivalent to wishing your father's death. The son ended up in the worst circumstances from a Jewish point of view, a place where even unclean pigs were faring better than he was. So he spends all his money carelessly, in the worst way, possibly gambling, doing things that are far from what is right. He decides to go back home and hope his father will take him in as a servant, knowing that his dad's servants are living better than he is. And what happens is his father runs, as he's going back to see his father sees him and he runs with excitement to embrace his son. He's so glad he's back. And then, do you know what he does? He has a party for him. Guys, this is a lot like what God does when we come back to him. So if you've left God, today I want to tell you that God wants you back so bad. He's saying, I'm so glad you're coming back. I want to have a relationship with you. I don't care what you've done. He doesn't care. Like I said, I believe a huge party takes place in heaven when somebody comes back to Jesus or when somebody comes to know Jesus for the very first time. Philippians 2:12-13 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you and will act to according to God's purpose. No matter what you've done and what you will do, God still considers you his masterpiece, and he wants to help you get to where you need to be. It's an ongoing process until Jesus Christ comes back. You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to always do the right thing. You're going to mess up. I mess up. Pastor Joe messes up. Your mom and dad mess up. The Pope messes up. Billy Graham. Franklin Graham. I don't know who you follow. Evangelists, pastors, Josh Welborn. Pastor Josh Welborn. He messes up. But it's what we do after that, right? Continue fighting. Continue not to give up. Continue to work on your relationship with God and allow him to work on you to teach you correctly. Allow him to chisel you, make you into his masterpiece that he wants you to be. God loves you too much to leave you where you're at. You guys have heard this, right? It's not just a cliche saying, it's true. He loves you too much to leave you where you're at. He says, I want you back. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come back to me. But I want to help you. I want to help you mold you into who you're supposed to be. Some of you are struggling with all kinds of things that are keeping you away from God. Some of you are hiding from God because you feel bad about yourself. You don't feel good enough. Today, you can start by receiving God's grace and forgiveness and accepting that you are his masterpiece. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. See, God wants you to look like him and act like him. He wants to chip and mold you into the person that he's called you to be. He wants you to be his original masterpiece. But we cannot become what we need to be by remaining who we are. We cannot become who we're supposed to be by remaining who we are. So my challenge to you guys is, God wants you back. He forgives you. He doesn't care what you, I mean, you got to ask him for forgiveness first. And the Bible literally says that God, when you ask for forgiveness, he takes what you've done and he throws into the sea of forgetfulness. Doesn't he know what that means? It means that God literally will never think about, he'll never think about what you've done ever again. Once you ask for forgiveness authentically, he doesn't even think about it. A lot of times we're what's holding us back because we're thinking about it, we're dwelling on it, and we're letting it eat us inside. But God already forgave you. As long as you ask for forgiveness, he's not even thinking about it anymore. It's done. It's over with. You're the one that's got to get over it, and he can help you with that. But too often when we mess up, when we do things that are wrong, when we let our parents down, we let people down, we think that we need to be far away from God, when in reality, that's when we need to be running after God. Are you hiding from God? Doesn't matter if you're Pastor Peter, I'm at youth group. That doesn't mean you're not hiding from God. Your friends are here. It's fun. Maybe you zone out during the messages. Maybe you don't really listen. That's the worst thing you can do. When we're struggling, when we're failing, when things are going down the wrong path, that's when we really need to be chasing God more than ever, because God will help us, right? So I'm saying a lot of things that you guys already know, but it's one thing to know it and to do it. It's not too good to be true. God does forgive us, and his forgiveness doesn't look like human forgiveness. I mean, you know that people don't like to let things go. Humans don't like to always forgive. They don't like to let things go. They say they forgive you, but all of a sudden you're in a fight and they bring up what happened yesterday. God doesn't do that. It's not the same. if you've heard these church things your whole life, let me tell you guys, maybe to you it's not a foreign concept. It's if the church really believed what we say we believe, we look a lot different. Because it's easy to say things. It's easy to paint a rosy, perfect picture, but it's another thing to actually follow through with what we believe. I think that Christians, we're standing in the way of a revival. You know that you guys have never seen a revival in this country? 1995, how many of you were alive in 1995? Not many of you, right? Youth leaders, huh? 1996. 1995 was the last time our country saw a revival. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a revival. I'm ready for this country to know Jesus Christ. How about you? The reason, though, we're not seeing a revival is because there's too many Christians that got the knowledge in their head, but they're not doing anything about it. You know God forgives you, yet you're not accepting it. You know how God sees you, yet you're still refusing to see that, and you're seeing what Satan wants you to see. It's time we become tough. It's time we start believing what's in the Bible. It's time the teenagers start reading it, right? Guys, there's no excuse to not read the Word of God because there's so many ways, so many things out there that help us understand it. Like I said, if you don't have a translation that you understand, get one. Today, I want you guys to leave this place different than the way you came in. Maybe you're like, well, Pastor Pete, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've known God my entire life. My parents go to church. I grew up in the church. I'm a youth leader. I'm in the cadre. That doesn't mean that you're not struggling with these things, guys. Like I said, you may know it in your head, but it's another thing to have it in your heart. Do you really want to be free from the sin that you've been struggling with? Do you really want to start looking in the mirror and seeing what God sees in you? Do you really want to stop hating yourself? Do you really want to have more confidence in who you are and who Jesus has called you to be? Maybe you're in this room for the very first time, and this is foreign to you. You've never heard love. You never heard forgiveness like this because your family life doesn't show it. Your mom and dad don't forgive you. When you mess up, it is a big deal. So you don't understand how asking for forgiveness will take it away. You don't get that. I'm here to tell you Jesus Christ died on the cross for you because he loves you, and he wants to know you. He wants to mold you. He wants to live life with you. He wants to help you get over it. He's saying, I don't care what those kids at school said about you. I don't care what your mom and dad said about you. I see you as my masterpiece. I love you. I love you. I don't care if you've known who I am your whole life because I don't really know you. You may have heard of me. You may know about me, but I don't know you. I want to know you, though. I believe there are students in this room that have known about God their entire life, but God would tell you that he doesn't know you. And not because he doesn't want to know you, but because you have all the knowledge in your head and you're doing nothing with it. I'm guilty of it. I don't spend enough time with Jesus. Don't answer the question, but think about it. How many of you guys spent time with God in the last month? I'm not talking about youth group, I'm not talking about church. That you actually spent time with him. How many of you have asked God for forgiveness lately? There is not a single person in this room that doesn't need to ask God for forgiveness. I'll tell you what, no matter how hard I try not to sin, somehow I do something stupid. It is too easy for me to be stupid, I'll tell you that right now. Who said that? Hey. Yeah. It is, though. It is the truth. It's too easy for us to sin, right? It's too easy. But that's not an excuse. Because with God, we can become greater. We can become better. We can overcome. We don't have to constantly be struggling with the same thing. We can get over it and then try to get over the next problem. Because it's going to keep happening. I'm telling you that right now. I'm 27 years old. I know I look like I'm 20, 15. But I'm 27 years old, and my whole life, I get over something, another thing happens. Nobody ever said being a Christian was going to be easy. It's not easy. But tonight, I believe with my whole heart that God wants to do something in your life. I believe every single one of you in this room can relate to this message in some way.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.